As a Christian, it's important to know what you believe and why you believe it. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to become rooted and grounded in our faith.
You might be here this morning with no peace with God. You might be here this morning wrestling with demons of your own. You might be here this morning not even sure if you died, if you'd go to heaven. I've got good news for you. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done or what haunts you or what you crave for. I'm saying the name of Jesus is more powerful than all of that.
We live in a shallow and uprooted society, but as Christians, we can be firmly rooted in our relationship with Christ. In our series, Rooted for Growth, we will discover the nutrients we need to remain spiritually strong.
Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California.
If you don't have a healthy spiritual root system, then every part of your life is impacted negatively. Through today's scriptures, we will explore what it means to be a rooted Christian who is growing in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called A Rooted Family.
And I want you to learn with me today of the importance of the Christian home, the importance of having a rooted Christian home. And so I want you to look in your notes and notice with me this morning the foundation of the family. I want you to start with me at the very beginning, the foundation of the family, and I want you to see what the Bible says, except the Lord build the house. The Lord is the foundation of every Christian home. And when the Lord is not acknowledged, when there are not the principles of the Lord in the home being revered, then the home is on shaky ground, sandy ground, silty loam soil. The divorce rate in America for a first marriage is 41%. The divorce rate in America for a second marriage is 60%. The divorce rate for the third marriage is 73%. In other words, you can try and try and try again, but until you get God in the middle of it, until you build on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not succeed. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I want you to understand this morning that my God and your God, if you're a Christian, is the designer of the home. It was His invention in the very first place. He is the designer of the Christian family. The Bible says in Genesis 2 and verse 18, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone." By the way, every married man ought to say amen to that verse. I'm going to give you a second chance here. "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should live alone." Amen. I feel revival in my bones. I really do. You guys are, you're doing all right this morning. And that was what God said. He looked at all His creation. He said, man, look at the trees, look at the animals, look at all of these things. It's so good. You read Genesis 1 and 2, and it always says, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. And you come to chapter 2 and verse 18, He says, this is not good. These guys will never make it on their own. It is not good that man should be alone. So He says, I will make an help meet for him. Thank God for that. I will make an help meet for him. This is God's design. He said, I got this guy over here, this piece of clay, but he needs help. So I'm going to create this beautiful help meet for him. And God created Adam and Eve. And the Bible says in Genesis 2:22, and the rib, or from the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. In other words, when Adam saw her, he said, whoa, baby, praise the Lord for this right here. He said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. That was his way of saying, I'm thankful. I accept her. This is wonderful, Lord. And thank you, Lord. And then notice what it says in verse 24. Therefore, now again, this is the design of God. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now that's King James Bible right there. That's the design of God, that a man should leave his father and mother, and they shall be one flesh. He shall cleave to his wife. They shall be one flesh. Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 19, Jesus Christ. And he said this, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder." Now I'm telling you this morning that our God designed the family to be a man and a woman coming together in marriage. That is God's design. Okay. That's the Bible design. Now, I want you to mark some things down in your mind this morning as the culture continues to shift. I want you to realize, and we understand as Americans, what the Declaration says. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and we thank God for that. But our founders also, in that Declaration of Independence, trusted in divine providence as this country was birthed. And they trusted in the book of divine providence, which is the Word of God. And I think it's vital today that we realize the same God that gives us the right to pursue happiness also has given us laws which, when ignored, will bring a consequence to this society. And when we start tampering with the family, and when we think we are smart enough to redefine God's design, we have gone way too far, and we are announcing the demise of a great nation when we attempt to redefine the family. And I want you to get this in your mind, because on one side you have the Bible, on one side, and I have a beautiful old Bible, about 150-year-old Bible here this morning. Not sure why we chose this. This is really an antiquity that I'm holding in my hand here, but this is a copy of the Word of God. This is what God has given to us, His revelation, His preserved Word. And in this Bible, He said that a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. That's what God said. That's what Jesus affirmed. And God laid that down very clearly. And He said, I want you to know I'm the designer. Now, and I want you to understand, on the other side, there are many voices, and there are going to be those in Hollywood, on Hollywood's side. There may be those in Europe who say, boy, this is a great thing, two men in marriage. There may be those in our culture who say, this is a great thing, and surely they will. The National Education Association, they may think, this is a great thing. The Democrats may think it, and some Republicans may think it, and I want you to mark it down. You mark it very clearly in your mind. There may be an entire culture shift. There may be 51% of Americans and all of the rest of them that are saying, let's redefine the family. And God is right here. And you mark this in your mind. As for Lancaster Baptist Church, as for me and my house, I intend to stand right here with the Bible. And I will not move, and I will do everything I can to encourage men and women everywhere to honor God and honor His Bible, because God is the designer of the family, and we have no right to go around calling ourselves a Christian and denying the basic tenets of the Word of God. Even the most ignorant in nature understand how God has created male and female. Even the Quran understands male and female. May we understand this morning that God has created male and female, and that His design still stands. Let God be true and every man a liar. I don't care if every Democrat and every Republican in the country were to turn to that particular view. They will be wrong and God will be true. And you go back and study history and you study the great movings of God during the Reformation, even during the Dark Ages, and you will find it was not always a moral majority. And yet, thank God for Christians who stood for what was right. And I'm telling you today, it's time to stand for what is right. God is right. He's the designer. And we must stand where God stands on these issues. And I'm simply saying, your friends may think this is okay. And your coworkers and your company, as they teach their tolerance. But I want to tell you something. God has a design. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. He's the designer. Secondly, I want you to see that He is the builder. He is the builder. The Bible says in verse number 1, except the Lord build the house. He is the one who builds it. The word except means unless he does this, it will fail. Unless he builds the house, this means to establish the house. And the house here speaks of the family. It speaks of family descendants. And God says, unless I'm in the mix of this, unless I'm involved with this, then I'm telling you the family will not stand. And we do not need leaders with evolving positions. We need leaders who know what they believe and stand by what they believe. And my friend, we do not believe in evolution. We believe that we came from Creator God, and we're not here with an evolving position. Christians have a preserved, once delivered position, and it comes from the Word of God. And we need some Christian leaders in this nation who will stand by what the fixed Word of God says. The Word of God. If I didn't say it clearly enough, let all the Democrats and the president and a few of the Republicans and the NEA and the rest of them stand over here. I'm going to stand right here with the Bible. And if you don't like that, there's 8 doors in the back of this auditorium. We're going to stand on the Word of God, and we're not going to be moved. God is the designer. God is the builder. We will stand where God stands. I'm going to tell you what, it's a precious thing when young people honor God at their wedding. We believe around here that a wedding is a sacred event, and that we're doing something godly. It's not just a party. It's not a time to drink or act weird. It's a time to honor God. Marriage is God's institution. He's the designer of it. And I say to you that a wise man will build his house on the Word of God. And the Bible says in Matthew 7:24, wherefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Hey, build your house on the rock, Christ Jesus. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, Jesus said, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Thank God our forefathers built this country on the principles of God and His Word. You go to D.C., you look at the monuments, you read our sacred documents, you'll see the references to God and the Bible. And I'm telling you, America was built on the rock, and now we're throwing the Ten Commandments out, and now we're ridiculing the Christian faith, and now we're denigrating Christian teenagers, and now we're trying to redefine even the family that God defined. Find in His Word. And what is it? It's sandy loam. I'm telling you, we must get back to the solid rock, Christ Jesus, in this land. God is the designer. God is the builder. And I've got to tell you something. God is the protector. God will protect a home and a people who seek Him. The Bible says in verse number 1, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. The word keep means to guard or protect. Psalm 121 and verse 4, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forever. The idea simply is this. God says, I want you to be completely dependent upon me. God is a powerful, sovereign God. And He says, you can do what you can do, but I can do what I can do, and I can do a whole lot more. And you are wise to let me be your builder, and you are wise to let me be your protector. And then I want you to see, fourthly, that He is our provider. It is the Lord that provides for us, and that's why it's so ridiculous for leaders today to disregard God and the Bible. How can we sing God Bless America when we are rejecting the very teachings of God? The Bible says in verse number 2, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep. He said, I want to provide sustenance for you. I want to provide safety for you. How many of you are thankful today that you have a God that's provided for your needs? I mean, He's been good to us. He's blessed us. This is not the time to go against Him, His teachings, His moral laws. This is the time in America to seek His face and to follow His ways and to learn of Him. Oh, I thank God that He provides, that He's been so good to us. Sometimes when I think of the graciousness and the goodness of God, I think it is truly best reflected from the heart of a mother. I heard about a school teacher who was teaching her children, and she said, "Now, what if your mother baked a pie and there were seven of you, your parents, and five children? What part of that pie would you get?" One little boy said, "I would get a sixth." The teacher said, "I don't think you understand your fractions very well." The little boy said, "Well, I don't think you know my mother very well. My mother would say she didn't want any pie and she'd give me an extra piece." You know, the fact of the matter is today that mothers are giving people, and God has given to us so bountifully. And we would be wise to thank Him for His provision rather than turn our face away from Him. We can rise up early, we can work hard and late into the night, but we will never be able to provide without God's provision. My God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And if you are a Christian today, and especially a giving Christian today, then you know that your blessings come from above, and that it's not of us, but it's from God, and that He is our provider. He has provided physically for us. He has provided safety for us. Listen, thank God for our defense industry and for all of the armament that we may build, but we must understand our greatest need is the protecting hand of God today. That's the greatest need in this land today. I don't know about you, but every once in a while when I was a kid, I felt like I needed protection from my mom. Much as I knew she loved me, she showed it to me in strange ways, too. Heard about a little boy who was sent to bed by his mother, and 5 minutes later he said, "Mom, I'm thirsty. Can I have a glass of water?" She said, "No, we already talked about that. Go to bed, lights out." 5 minutes later, "Mom, I'm thirsty. Can I have a glass of water?" "No, we already talked about that. Now, if you ask again, I'm going to have to spank you." "Mom, what? When you come in to spank me, will you bring me a glass of water?" He knew the system. And moms know how to take care of us, don't they? And sometimes we probably felt we needed to be taken care of from them. But the fact of the matter is that our God knows exactly what we need and when we need it. He's the designer. He is the provider. He is the builder. If you are not seeking God, then you are building on sand and not on the solid rock today. The foundation of the family is the Lord. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now you listen to me. You can take any kind of a combination of creatures and you could legally call it a family, but I'm telling you, it is sandy, it is sinking, it is not pleasing to God unless it is done God's way. That's the fact of the matter. The foundation of the family. I want you to notice, secondly, the fruit of the family. The fruit of the family. Look at verse 3. "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." Now, I think it's important that we remember that children are the possession of the Lord. They are the heritage of the Lord. The word heritage here means the property of the Lord, the possession of the Lord. Children are the heritage of the Lord. Moms and dads, they are not our children. Now I forget that, and you forget that sometimes, but when you step back and get a biblical paradigm, you have to recognize the fact children are the heritage, they're the possession of the Lord. That means then that we are stewarding God's gift to us, just like you get a paycheck and you're to have a budget and you steward those finances according to the will of God. God says, "These are your children. I want you to take care of them, discipline, nurture them, train them, guide them, because they're not really yours. They're my possession. I'm putting them in your care for a little while." And by the way, how many of you would say, what a sobering responsibility? And I think every mother here would say that when you realized you were expecting and you realized God was going to give you the opportunity and the privilege to raise children, it was exciting, but there was a sense that came over you, something like, whoa, what a great responsibility this is. I have the responsibility, and we as parents have a responsibility to take the possession of the Lord and treat it right and train them well. And this is our responsibility, and that begins when we ourselves have a heart for God. Look at your notes this morning, Deuteronomy 6:4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Now, before we can teach it to our children, it's got to be in our heart. We've got to have a love for God. We've got to recognize that He is our God, and we love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might. Then He says, I want you to teach the children, and I want you to talk to the children about this. And when you're walking, and when you're lying down, and when you rise up, I want your home to be a place where you are training up my possession, where you're treating my children well, where you're training them in the ways of God. And thank God for parents who take this seriously. And thank God for children who have the privilege of receiving such training. John Wesley said, I learned more about God from my mother than from all of the theologians in England. Thank God for mothers who teach the biblical principles of the Word of God, who read the Scripture and teach the Scripture and sing the little songs that have the names of Jesus and the attributes of God. Ephesians 6 and verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Listen, if you're a young mother this morning, don't let Sesame Street or whatever it is today raise your children, but get the Word of God and get some help from the Christian bookstore perhaps, and talk to some of the mothers that are maybe a little older and learn how to instill Bible-based principles into the hearts of these children. Why? Because they're not your children, they are God's children. Children are the heritage of the Lord. But notice what else that verse says. Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Say that with me, that phrase, would you? And the fruit. Now, God is sovereign in the matters of the womb, and I know we have many wonderful moms in this church, and we have many wonderful ladies who have not physically had a child. Some have adopted and so forth. But if and when someone is expecting, the Bible says the fruit of the womb is a reward. It is a reward. God always elevates the sanctity of life in the Bible. And here is another case in our culture where we seem to have the clear teachings of God and the clear denial of the teachings of God amongst people who still say, we need the blessings of God. Jeremiah 1 and verse 5 is very clear. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. God said, look it, I formed you in the belly. I knew you before then. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. You know what? God has a purpose for every preborn child. God knows them. God has a plan for their life. Luke 2 and verse 5. Those of us who are Christians would understand. It says there to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And the word child there is significant. It is the same word that is used for the preborn child. God does not differentiate in His Bible. The child still in the mother's womb, the child that's come out of the mother's womb is still a child in God's eyes. He recognizes that life. And at the moment of conception, the preborn child is genetically distinct from his or her mother and a creation of God, created with a purpose. And all that we would recognize today, Surgeon General C. Everett Koop said, in 35 years of medicine, I have never seen one case where abortion was necessary to save a mother's life. I'm just saying again this morning, when it comes to the matter of life and where it begins, I don't care if every Republican in America changes and flip-flops on that because they're trying to please their base. And by the way, it's time that some leaders in America stop trying to please their base and start trying to please God. And I'm saying to you this morning that life begins at conception and that we must stand where the Word of God stands on that matter. Sometimes I sense even evangelicals flip-flopping. I have pastor friends even in this community who are starting to waver and who will support politicians who are against the family, against the Bible, and against the preborn child and calling themselves evangelical. They ought to go ahead and call themselves what they are. They are liberal Bible deniers is what they are. Say, Pastor, you seem a little fired up today. I am fired up that clergymen would let this country burn and turn from God.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchapel.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily.